Hi, this is Miss Melis, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you're listening to Tales from the Tub. It is August 16th. It's 3 minutes before midnight, and I am literally recording this in bed. Because I got lazy and complacent and took migraine medicine and was pretty much comatose for most of the afternoon. If you hear heavy breathing in the background, that is my oldest dog, Max, who is lying in the middle of the bed, not letting me put my feet where they're supposed to be, and basically hogging the entire thing. He's almost 8, and he's a pointer, and he thinks this is his right. He's also too big for me to argue with without making a lot of noise. Tonight, I am taking a break from the colors, and I am talking about real mail. About a month ago, a friend of mine mentioned this project she'd signed up for, Jennifer Beltoff's Love Notes Project. Basically, you're assigned a pen pal for 3 weeks, during which time you send a postcard a week, and you're given prompts as jumping-off points. I am a sucker for writing memes, so naturally I signed up. I loved the fabric postcards my partner sent me. She would put them in envelopes, and I'm pretty sure she made them herself because they were like strips of upholstery fabric and scraps of quilting fabric and buttons sewn onto like pasteboard cards. But what I loved even more than the actual physical postcards I was receiving and how much time she'd spent designing them was that guarantee of at least one piece a week of real mail. Once a week, I was going to receive a postcard, not an ad, not a bill, not a circular, an honest-to-God, handwritten, just for me, real postcard from a real, live person. Okay, I've been a sucker for real mail even more than I've been a sucker for writing memes. When I was a little kid, like 6 or 7, in an effort to keep me from driving my parents crazy one summer, I got this book called Free Stuff for Kids. It's basically a collection of all these different things that kids can request by mail. Most of them were free. A few required that you pay for postage, and nothing was ever over a dollar. So by the time I'd sent the first 5 envelopes out and received the first 2 items back, I was hooked. I signed up for a pen pal, and we wrote back and forth for a couple of years until each of us moved and we lost touch. At the same time, we were living in Colorado and then later California, and my grandparents live in New Jersey. And my grandfather took it upon himself to keep a regular written correspondence with me, going so far as to carefully print his letters to me on wide rule notebook paper so that I could actually read them without help. At this point, I still hadn't learned cursive because I didn't learn that until I was 8. I am very fortunate that I come from a family of letter writers. We do use mail and email and we do use text for immediate things or, you know, like itineraries and stuff. But every so often, all of us still write real letters. My mother is known throughout our family because she writes this really special letter every time one of the young women in our family turns 16. I think I talked about this in previous years. She always writes this letter of advice. It's a letter that I've taken and modified for modern times, or more modern than when I was 16, and written to the children of friends as they've hit that age. It's basically her guidelines for life. And most of it's pretty basic, but some of the important bits are things like never get married until you have finished your education, seen the world, lived on your own for at least a year, and had one truly tragic love affair. I've incorporated this advice into fiction I've written because I think it's really good advice. I don't think there's like a hard, fast age for when you should get married. I just think there are certain things you should have had accomplished. And I think those 4 things are pretty good baselines. Some of the other stuff that she writes is a little bit more specific, like, you know, responsible women do not forget to use birth control, and you don't have to marry the first person you sleep with. But those are very specific to people in our family, and not every family will find that those apply. Your mileage may vary. I was so psyched to receive this letter when I turned 16. That when I didn't receive this letter, I complained, and my mother said, "But you don't need it. You've grown up hearing it." She made up for it when I turned 21 and gave me not just the copy of the then current version of our bodies ourselves, but also her original pamphlet of the very first version. It's not the kind of thing you typically get from a parent, but it totally represented the honesty and clarity of our relationship, and I think it was really important. But back to real mail. So we're a family of letter writers. And ever since I started this project, I have been actually doing more postcards to other people that are not my assigned pen pal, because the project was just during July and it's over. A lot of us, my friend Deborah, for example, started sending extra postcards with the same prompts. So I got one from her, and I was like, oh, this is cool. I'm going to send something back. I didn't use all the prompts. I just sent her another postcard, but we've continued it. Just the other day, I got a blank note, like a folded blank note with a picture of a coffee mug on it from our mutual friend Becca, who said, I saw this card and I had to send it to you. I haven't figured out what the perfect response is, like what picture to choose on a card, but I'm working on it. And eventually I know I'll be looking in the stationery department of some place, whether it's online or an actual store, and I'll see something that just screams, Becca, and I'll send it to her. At the same time, my aunt, my mother's younger sister, and I have also been exchanging postcards all summer. Mine have been postcards that I got from this collection on Etsy that are 100 different literary quotes. Actually, 50 different literary quotes, but there's 100 cards, so there's two of every quote. And some of them are things that you would typically hear from all of the classic authors, and some of them are a little bit edgier, and I've been really having fun choosing the perfect quotation for whatever mood I'm in and using it somehow in the writing I'm doing. The cards themselves make great writing prompts, but I'm having fun just sending the postcards. My aunt, for example, is one of the world's foremost scholars on Virginia Woolf, so one of the cards I sent her had a Virginia Woolf quotation on it. And I know that she appreciated it. She, in turn, has been sending me cards from her collection of different places she's been. And lately, they've all been from places in the Pacific. Two from Point Reyes, California, and one from when she was doing a writer-in-residence program in Sitka, Alaska. And I find this hilarious, and so does she, because she's sending me these, like, Pacific Coast postcards. But she's sending them from Amagansett, New York. Somehow it's just really appropriate. A coastline's a coastline, right? So anyway, all summer I've been doing postcards and I'm having a great time with it, and I'd forgotten how much I love real mail. But I've also been reading collected letters from people. It started when I joined the worldwide obsession with Hamilton and I bought the Hamill Tome, which is the book of essays about making the musical Hamilton. And it includes not only the annotated libretto, which in itself is a fascinating read, but also some of the letters that Alexander wrote to Eliza, his wife, and Angelica, his sister-in-law. But the other book, and this was actually a gift from my aunt when I mentioned it to her, is The Collected Letters of Laura Ingalls Wilder. Now, I've been a Laura fan since, before the television show. So early 1970s, practically since I knew how to read, I was a Laura fan. I watched the television show, but I prefer the books because they're accurate. My husband actually comes from a town that is half an hour away from the little town on the prairie, just met South Dakota. So, like, the first time we ever drove into South Dakota after our trip across from California, I got really excited when I saw the signs for Highway 14 from Minnesota into South Dakota that said, Laura Ingalls Wilder, Historical Highway. And one of the first trips we ever took outside of the town where we lived was for me to actually go to DeSmet and tour all the buildings. We now do it every time we go up that it's open. It's one of my favorite places to visit, and I never get tired of it. So real mail has been with me all summer, and the thing is, I've changed a lot since my early letter writing days. I am no longer the person who watches for the mailman or the postwoman or whoever is delivering my mail, and these days I'm actually more likely to get packages than newsy letters or even postcards, but I love this concept that real mail represents, because it isn't just something to read, and it isn't just, you know, it's someone's opinion or someone's day-to-day or whatever. It's it's a piece of the sender. It means that someone actually took time to sit down and use ink on real paper and write a letter. And okay, maybe it's going to take 3 weeks to get there if you're sending it from, well, I just sent a postcard to my friend Caroline in Sweden. So she might not even get it until long after this goes live. But it'll be something I touched. It'll represent a bubble in time and a textual portrait. Real mail rocks. Real mail is magic. Real mail never goes out of style. Bathtub Mermaid Tales from the Tub is written by Melissa A. Bartell under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike International 4.0 license and is produced using Bostock and Audacity. For show notes, music credits, and transcripts, please visit www.bathtubmermaid.com. You can contact me on Twitter or Instagram at @melysse, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, or you can send an email to Miss Melysse, M-I-S-S-M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, @gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.